please lie on your back. Sometimes in lessons we jump right into them and don't really have a scan, but in an arrangement like we have where we're only getting together once a week, it's useful to take a few moments and consider your state. That is, give you an opportunity to consider your state. Whether you choose to do that is up to you. So your state of your nervous system, your musculature, is in some way reflected by your contact with the floor. So you can use that to get a sense of the shape of the neck and shoulder girdle and the trunk as it includes the rib cage and the abdomen and the pelvis, how they are all related here at the beginning of the lesson. That is, what the position of each is relative to the others. And consider whether the pelvis is tipped a little so that the low back comes away from the floor, or whether the low back is closer to the floor. Again, they're comparing those two, one to the other, but also compared to what you perhaps think of as familiar, whether it seems novel today, whether that tip of the pelvis is different than what you think of as usual, assuming you think of something usual there. What the space behind the neck is like, how perhaps that relates to the angle of the head, whether the nose is tipped up in the direction of the head or down in the direction of the feet a bit. You just don't have to do anything with it, you just know where it is. Maybe that it's different later or not. And there's the sort of whole sense of when you first lay on the floor after having been active during the day, the latent work in the muscles, what you've been doing today is reflected in the muscular tone throughout, front and back, left and right, bottom and top of yourself. And you can consider your breathing, what that's like, where you find movement on the inhalation, how movement changes over the course of the exhalation, the inhalation, how the specifics of each differ, perhaps. All right, now, come to your hands and knees and extend the fronts of the feet so the toenail side of the toes is on the floor. The feet are long. And before you consider much else, with the feet long and on the hands and knees, so rather than for running, the toe side of the toenail side of the toes is on the floor. Begin it starting with a small movement, move the pelvis in the direction of the heels, and then return to this neutral position. So it's as if you're going to sit on your heels. You see what that's like. You don't go all the way there, and then you come back. So even if you can go far on the first go, build it up gradually. See what this is like. Take the pelvis toward the heels, which are close to the floor, and then come back. And you know where you're working. And you know what you're doing with your head. So you just explore the quality of the movement, the range of it, what happens in the low back, what happens in the knees. And find out what you're doing with your head. Now leave the head hanging down toward the floor so that you're not holding it up, and see if that changes how far you go down. So the head will move between the arms or in that direction. So more or less the head is hanging throughout. So you arc the hips toward the feet. And the knees are a little bit apart, and it looks like that's the case for everybody. Feet can be a little bit apart comfortably. You don't have to keep them together. So we get to establish what this is like here at the beginning. And a couple times, put the knees and feet completely together along their inner borders and see how this changes things, particularly in the low back. See what this is like. Does anything change? The head hanging and the knees together, what's this like? See how this compares to having the knees apart. And then leave it and rest on your back. Then and now, leave it. You could note, even after a few relatively simple movements, is there a location where it feels good to rest? If there's any muscular work you were doing, that it feels satisfying to lay on your back as a respite from. All right, come back to this kneeling position and the feet long on the floor and the it's time to take the inside edges of the knees and the feet together so they're close and begin to take the hips back in the direction of the heel, only this time as you begin to move, look out toward the horizon or even perhaps a little up. And not first, but as you sink back, look in the direction of the horizon in front of you, if that's available, and see how that affects the movement. Then as you come forward again, let the head sink. So the head hangs. As you go back, you look up toward the horizon, perhaps further, up the wall or toward the ceiling. And as you come forward onto the hands a bit, you let the head come closer to the floor again, so that the whole spine shapes a little differently. You know what you do in the low back. Is this easier to go back with the head lifted? Not so easy. So the head moves throughout, looking up as you go back, crown of the head coming toward the floor as you come forward. And then take the knees a little bit apart, the knees and feet a little apart from each other, and continue. Try it out here. Looking toward the horizon as you sink toward the feet and down as you come forward. You see if it's possible you take care with the pressure in your hands and wrists. And now just leave the head hanging down and try that out. What happens? What's it like to just sink toward the heels of the head hanging only? Crown of the head more or less in the direction of the floor in front of you. How does it change the movement? How does it change what happens in the back? Particularly the low back and the pelvis. Then you alternate a couple times. Once the head coming up and back, once hanging low as you go back toward the heels. And maybe the hands slide on the floor a little bit, but you keep them on the floor. Just take the weight out of the hands at some point as you go back. Compare alternately the action of the whole spine, the pelvis, and the head as you keep the head low, the back rounded, and as you go back the next time with the low back coming a little forward toward the floor and the head going up, how does that affect what happens in the pelvis and how does it affect this movement? All right, and then, or now, leave it and rest on your back. All right, come once again to hands and knees. As Feldenkrais says here, standing on the knees, which includes the hands in this case. And take the knees quite far apart. And maybe you can get them, if it's possible, to place them far enough apart so that you'll see what you need to do in a moment here as we begin. This time, as you take the pelvis back toward the heels, pivot the right leg on the right knee to take the right foot closer to the left knee in an arc. So you bring the knee, you turn on that right knee, and as you sink back. So you do it slowly. Even if you can go all the way to your heel, don't. Just go part way and explore it. Take good care with your knees. Just make the movement simple, even if it's small. You slide that in. The idea eventually you get to the point where the right toes maybe even come quite near the left knee. Maybe even the, as you go along here, pivot that leg in as you sit back. And gradually think about sitting down. But there's no need at all to force it. You can explore the range of the movement. You adjust your hands if you need to so that you don't put too much weight into them. And see what you do with the head. How does the head, being on one end of the spine, cooperate to make this movement a little more fluid? What do you do with the whole of the back and the pelvis? Let's try this out. Swinging the lower leg forward, maybe even the sole of the foot or the heel comes into contact with some part of the left knee or the upper inner part of the left calf. When you do that, what happens to the back? How does it twist? What happens with each hip? You see that you don't hold the breath and you keep the head involved. Maybe the head goes up and back. Maybe the head goes down and forward. You just try a little bit what makes sense there. You bring the foot forward enough so that it's somewhere near the left knee gradually. Maybe you have to lean a little to one side. Maybe you have to twist somewhere. You just sort that out. What's needed there? You gradually have the idea that you'll come back to sit. So this becomes one movement with the, as the right foot swings to the left knee. The head moves, the low back moves, shoulders are involved. And you take it back out as you come forward over the hands. All right, and then leave it, come to your back and rest. All right, come once again to the hands and knees and take the knees wide apart. And this time come to the other side. So you, as you go back, taking the pelvis toward the heels, you pivot the left foot by turning on the left knee so that it comes inside near to the right knee. Yeah, sort out if you wanted to gradually increase the range of that coming forward of the left foot, how would you do it? And of course, you don't fall back, but you do it reversibly, and you just build it up. So you go a little slowly. The left foot pivots a little bit so that the outer edge of it comes closer to the floor, the little toe, etc. You can imagine you wanted to even put the sole of the left foot near the right knee. And you see what goes on in the low back and in the whole of the spine, including the head. And as you continue, try looking up. So you take the head back to look toward the horizon or higher as you go back and see what happens to the movement. Does it interfere with it? Does it improve it? And when you do that kind of a movement, do it with the whole of the spine. It's like you initiate by changing the position of the pelvis, the tipping of it, to change the position of the head and the rounding or extension of the whole back as you sit back and come forward. When you come forward, you reverse that and let the head hang down so the crown of the head is toward the floor as you're up over the hands. And then try that as you go back, look forward and up. Let's try that a couple more times. That coordination of the whole of the back to lift the head away from the floor and to take the pelvis back. How does the back round, perhaps? What do you do in the low back? What happens in the shape of the whole spine? And then let the head hang down again or respond in whatever way seems best to you to make the movement simpler and lighter. As the left foot swings between the knees toward the right knee and the hips fall back. What do you do with the head and the whole of the back to make that action a little simpler? What coordination or what organization makes sense? All right, now leave it and come to rest on your back. Some lessons, the feeling of actually resting, really taking a break during rests is more clear. You can see if this is one of those lessons for you. That is where it really feels like a break from muscular work. All right, come once again to the hands and knees here. The feet long, the tops of the feet toward the floor. Take the knees wide apart once again, and this time alternate. As you go back, taking the pelvis toward the heels, you leave the head free to move, to coordinate the movement of the back and pelvis, once taking the right foot toward the left knee as you sit back, and then you come out as you come forward, taking the foot away again, and then take the left foot in. So you alternate, sitting back behind that folding leg. Perhaps that movement's getting a little more accessible. You come forward and back, and let the head be involved, so it's not just extended in one position. It's not fixed, but it lifts and lowers. Now, in fact, for one, right and left, lift the head as you go back, once on the right and once on the left. Head comes down as you come forward and then looks up and back so that the whole of the back is organized with the head. And then the next time you do the right and the left, keep the head low and round the back to sit. You go alternately like this, twice raising the head away from the floor and looking to the horizon or higher, and twice leaving the head low and taking the pelvis once on the left, once on the right. You just notice, do you do this differently on each side? Is there something different in the hip joints or in the way that you twist or round the back? How is it different when you take the back toward the floor versus when you take the back toward the ceiling? Is one helpful? Is there a timing of it that makes sense? You sort out the differences there. All right, and then leave it and rest on your back. In some recent lessons, there's been an emphasis on the coordination of the hip joints and the tipping of the pelvis and the coordination of the back. This lesson does that in this other orientation on the hands and knees. As we proceed, perhaps you'll find that being able to round and extend the back, tipping over the hip joints, becomes helpful. All right, come once again to the hands and knees, to stand on the knees and hands, as Feldenkrais says here, and take the knees wide, the feet apart a bit, and then alternate here, just once left and once right, taking the left foot toward the right knee as you sit back, and then you come forward, you leave the head low, and then take the right in. Just alternate here. Sitting back, bringing one foot to one knee and then the other. Really allowing the head to move so it's not statically extended. When you come forward, the head hangs. So that you really change the position of the head as you move the low back and the pelvis. So it doesn't just stick toward the wall out above you, but as you come forward, the head hangs and the back rounds. And as you go back, you can let it adjust however you like. And then you make the movement a little quicker, just so you go lightly from one side to the other with a sense that it's a whole movement. And be sure you don't just then leave the head still, and you keep the whole back in action. The head hangs, especially when you come forward. Hanging means the top of the head comes to the floor, so there's mobility throughout the upper back and neck and shoulders. You think of it as one movement, though it has two sides. And you see, as you make it a little bit lightly quicker, what's required in the head and the neck and the back and the pelvis. All right, and then leave it and come to your back and rest. All right, come once again to your front, to the hands and knees. Have your knees and feet a little bit apart, not sort of in front of your hip joints perhaps, not too wide. And now lift your right knee away from the floor. So the hip goes back to lift the right knee away from the floor. You can do that a couple of times and note how the direction of that action is, that the pelvis, the right side of the pelvis goes back toward the ceiling a little bit, that there's action in the left pelvis too. You don't just lean to the left, but you actually twist through the pelvis to lift the knee. And then lift the foot too and take the whole lower right leg so that you set it down on the other side of the left leg. So you take the right knee behind the left knee and set it down on the floor there, and then take it out. You see what you need to do? Your whole of your back, and keep the head available for movement, the head and neck. And start to think about the possibility of, once you've set the knee on the floor, that you could spread the feet a little bit and begin to sit back there. Not all the way, you just go a little bit at first. Just explore what that's like, and then come out of it and take the knee out from behind, the right knee out from behind the left. And then you do that several times. Consider the possibility of sitting back with the knees crossed there and the feet spread apart a little bit. What do you have to do in the hips to spread the feet? And what do you do with the head? Is it possible to round a little as you go back? At any rate, you keep the head mobile so that it's not just fixed relative to the shoulders and back. And try a couple times looking up toward the ceiling as you go back, or toward the horizon and overhead. What does that do in the twisting of the spine and the pelvis? Right, next time you're on all fours, switch it around so that you bring the left knee behind the right. Spread the feet comfortably and sink back. Not as far as you can on the first go. Even if you could sit on the floor, don't go that far. Just develop it slowly. And you try leaving the head low and or raising the head. You see that gradually you can take more weight in the legs and take the weight off the hands, though you keep them on the floor. And alternate left behind, right behind, sitting back between the feet, and coming forward and unfolding them, switching sides, sinking back. looking toward the horizon or not, just so that the head is involved with the movement of the pelvis and the movement of the back, rounding and unrounding, at least these two distinct ways, where the low back rounds and goes back, or where the low back extends and comes forward toward the floor. Just experiment for yourself a little bit there. Take care that the movement's reversible, that it's not, you don't fall at any point. And then you're welcome to explore it a little if you're still interested in sorting some things out. When you're ready to rest, come to your back and rest. So for many of us, this is in this lesson, that really taking care that you don't overexert, and you take care with your joints, and you keep more of yourself involved, that the head and the pelvis and the back are all moving and are coordinated. It's an important point here. You rest when you need to. You slow down if you need to. You sort out how you gradually begin to use the weight your weight in the legs to unload the hands and do less work in the wrists and shoulders as we go along. All right, come back to all fours again and this time, without sitting back, just alternate taking one knee behind the other and setting it down, and then just taking it back out immediately and switching over. So you just make a kind of light, quick movement that's continuous through the middle. So the pelvis, you know, when one side of the pelvis lifts back toward the ceiling, when one side lengthens a little, you see if you can keep your weight a little bit out of your hands. So you make that a little easier. And you just see about a quick light movement where you alternate setting down one knee, coming onto it, lifting one hip by taking it back toward the ceiling to move the knee. And you just do it simply. And you see that the back rounds and extends, that the head's involved in that. You don't have to sit here, it's just a simple movement. While you're remaining on all fours, see that you're not holding your breath. And you do a few more, and when you're ready to rest, come to your back and rest. We need like a reverse gold star in Feldenkrais method where you don't get rewarded by not getting a star when you don't do a good job. In other words, you have to be self. You have to satisfy yourself in that case. Maybe it's not a matter of being self-satisfied, but you satisfy yourself. Your way of doing, your way of attending. That's really what we're after in awareness through movement. Not to accomplish things or to do exercises, but to attend in a way where our ability to have the whole of ourselves in our experience improves. All right, come once again to the hands and knees and excuse me. Now, sorting out how to use the pelvis and the back and the head. You can keep the feet, the knees relatively close together. They don't have to be pressed together. And this time, lift the whole right knee and lower leg away from the floor. Take it forward
and slip the right knee in front
of the right foot in front of the left knee and bring the back of the right knee close to the left knee. So you come to a position like before, but you do it by bringing the right knee forward or and out to the side. You just sort out how you need to do that. What you need to adjust. Feldenkrais suggests here you and then you take it out and you just repeat. Maybe it's easier to take it out than put it in. Feldenkrais suggests really take the right hip back toward the ceiling here. Maybe the knee will go out to the side a little to do that. You see what you can do to make that relatively smooth. Socks might have been helpful, but well, several times you take that right foot around the front of the left knee, and then you take the feet a little bit apart and you sit back. See what that's like. And sometimes you raise the head and sometimes lower it. But you keep the head involved. The whole spine is moving, so the head moves too. The pelvis moves. You try really looking up toward the horizon or the ceiling when you sit back, making it one movement. You compare, is it more straightforward to round the back and take it toward the ceiling, letting the head sink to the floor? Or does it make more sense to lift the head and look toward the horizon or the ceiling as you go back in particular? And is this movement getting easier, simpler? How about that twisting the pelvis so you lift the left knee, or the right knee away from the floor using the pelvis. Can you compare the lifting and lowering of the head with the taking the foot through that gap between the left hand and knee and sitting back, the feet coming apart as you sit back? Don't overdo it. You take care with your knee joints and your pelvis. And then let's find a way to rest in sitting for a moment. Whatever that means for you, to come off the knees or to lean forward or something, rest the wrists, the neck, the hands. Then you come back to all fours and try the left leg, bringing it in the direction of the head and the head toward the knee perhaps, so that you really round the back to bring the knee forward, and then put it on the other side of the right leg and spread the feet one apart from the other and sit back. And see what makes sense, to look up toward the horizon, leave the head low so that the back can really round to lift the leg out. So when you're on all fours, Feldenkrais suggests really take the hip of the leg you're lifting, take it back, turn the pelvis to lift the foot as well as sliding forward. If that makes sense. So in that case, maybe it's that the knee that's coming forward goes a little out to the side as well as sliding forward to go around the foot. to bring the foot around the knee, excuse me. How does this side compare to the other one? Is there some difference in the trunk, in the hips, in the knees, perhaps, that makes it easier or more difficult or less available than the other side? All right, and then next time you get on all fours, untangled, you come to rest on your back. All right, come once again to all fours, hands and knees. This time utilizing the tipping of the pelvis, the lowering of the head, the bending of the back to take the back back. Bring the right knee forward in front of the left and set it down. And don't sit back yet though, just take the right knee in front and bring it up to the outside of the left knee, and then pause there with the knees crossed. And now take the left one out from behind and bring it in front of the right knee and through and set it down. And then take the right knee out from behind and bring it forward and see if you're beginning to move forward, a kind of locomotion here. If you don't slide back every time, if you just set it down, you move the hands a little bit forward and see if you come forward in the room this way. A method of locomotion, if not the most effective one. And you leave that knee forward and take the one out from behind, adjust the hands, round the back and turn the pelvis to bring that leg forward. Set it down and see you gradually move across the room. You could Feldenkrais says here, you could turn it into a competition. Speed limit, 85 miles per hour. So you alternate sides here. The pelvis twists and turns, the head lowers and adjusts so that the whole back can move. And you come forward in the room in the direction of the head. All right, and then leave that and rest on your back. Come to the hands and knees once more. And now, this time, take just 3 steps forward in this way, where you bring one knee in front and then take the other one out from behind and bring it forward as you just were. Just 3. So you move forward in the room. And pause when you make the 3rd step. And then from there, just reverse it. So you take that, in this case, right knee out, and you go backward. And take the other knee out and go backward through space. So you use the back and the head moves. The head doesn't just stay fixed in a position relative to the trunk, but it goes down toward the floor and lifts and as the back rounds. And you just see what it's like to move backward. You Feldenkrais says there's this method, it's a method of locomotion, maybe not the most effective one for moving about, but that there is not one more effective for improving the flexibility and the coordination of the pelvis and the hips and the back. And really use the pelvis. Lift one side away from the floor, twist, lower the head when you need to, raise it. And then when you're ready, just come to your back and rest. Maybe you noted there that there's the necessity of taking the back back to bring a leg in front of or behind the other. That there's a coordination of the pelvis and the head and the back. They are one thing in movement. All right, come once more to your stand on the knees and support with the hands. Do what you need to take care of your wrists. You can stand on the knuckles, etc. Anyway, we'll be changing that in a moment. And now take the knees apart wide and see what it's like now to swing the right foot close to the left knee and sit back. So the knees stay side by side now. We come back to an earlier movement. Rather than crossing the legs over, you leave the knees side to side and just take them apart. And then with the knees wide, the knees quite far apart from each other, then you swing the right foot forward so it comes near the left knee as we did before and sit back. See what it's like now to do that movement. And then you come out of it and you switch to the left leg, pivoting on the left knee to swing the left foot through and sit back. How's that compared to before? And maybe you see you don't need your hands so much. Can you use maybe just one hand? As you come forward onto the knees, maybe eventually you don't need either hand and you just switch, come up onto the knees, maybe even come up right over the knees. You sit back so that you look forward, and you just alternate there. Really getting the hands out of it a little bit, perhaps. You use them if you need to and when you need to. Doing less of the hands, you coordinate the head, the back, you have the whole image of yourself more complete. You know that the heels are moving when the head moves. You sit back so that you can reverse it at any point. Leave the neck free so that it can adjust as you need to. You do just a few more if you're interested, and take care when you sit back in particular that you don't fall to the floor. That you can come back softly and come forward softly. And when you're ready to leave it and rest on your back. that's your contact with the floor. How do you rest on the floor here at the end of the lesson? What's the arrangement of the pelvis, the hip joints, the head and face? How do the two shoulders rest? How are the arms arrayed? What's your sense of the hip joints, the pelvis? And when you're ready, come to one side and come to stand. As Feldenkrais says here, stand up on your feet and walk around and see how it feels to walk with a more mobile pelvis and hips and legs. Oh, that's something. And as he suggests at the end of other lessons, ask yourself, was it worth it? Thank you.
Thank you. Much more dynamic lesson.
Indeed. Thank you very much, everybody.